thank you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, at this 10-year mark, Lord, we just pause. And with the whole room, just close your eyes for a moment. Let's just connect with the Lord. Now look around. 10 years, Lord. 10 years ago, on this night, we stood before you. And we said, by the grace of God, we will not stop. We will not be silent. If you would help us. 10 years later, you have helped us, and we're still here. We say, thank you, Lord. Weak and broken people. We came with sincere hearts and good intentions and not a chance that we could do this except you help us. 10 years ago, this very hour, we stood before you and you said yes. And we said yes. And then you said yes. We said yes. And you smiled. And you helped us. Lord, we thank you. We ask you again. On this night, you would help us again. We need strength. We need leaders. We need dedicated people who love you. We need supernatural finances. We need power to raise the dead. See the wheelchairs emptied. God, we ask you that you would heal Wes Adams, Jack Hill. Lord, that you'd bring them out of these wheelchairs. And Lord, we ask you that you would be in our midst to help us in our weakness, in our brokenness, in our proneness to stray, that you would help us again the next 10 years. And even till the end, we thank you in Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to look at these notes. Where I'm going to talk about where do we go from here, and I've titled it IHOP's New Justice and Outreach Initiatives. And we're at the 10-year mark, and we've had a lot of outreaches in the last 10 years. We haven't talked much about them, and so most folks that interact with us from abroad, they think mostly about the prayer ministry, and that's I'm excited about that. But the Lord wants us to add a significant new dimension of justice and outreach, of which in some ways you can use those words interchangeably. Sometimes I do. Sometimes when I say justice, I mean the evangelism and the outreach, because justice is making wrong things right. Jesus said, cry for justice, and I'll answer you. That means healing is an expression of justice. People being born again, supernatural finances, divine wisdom, all of that's God making wrong things right. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 is critical. The Lord says, what the Holy Spirit's doing is foundational. I'll send Elijah, the prophet. He's coming. And he's coming before the second coming. Elijah's coming before the second coming. And the spirit of Elijah, the Holy Spirit moving in a releasing prophetic anointing, that spirit of Elijah, that prophetic anointing is moving and building and increasing now in the nations. And here's what the Spirit's saying through the prophets that are listening. Turn the fathers to the children. That's the main thing the Spirit's saying to people connected. There's 1,000 ways to express this. But if the spirit of prophecy is moving in your life, I want to assure you somewhere in what he's saying, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children at risk, to the children in need, to the children that are abandoned. Turn your heart to them. That's what the spirit of prophecy is crying out. And it's going to build up. There's going to be a crescendo. And the house of prayer movement, I don't mean the IHOP movement. I mean the house of prayer, the big house of prayer. IHOP's just a little unit of that. The worldwide missions movement. The more that prayer goes, the more prophecy will be released. The more the prophecy is released, it fuels more prayer. The more prayer, more prophecy. More prophecy, they fuel one another. You get prayer movements increasing and exploding in the earth, the spirit of prophecy will explode. And the spirit of prophecy will build the prayer movements, but here's one thing that's going to happen. When it's all said and done, God will shout, turn your heart to the children, the unsaved children, the abandoned children, the saved ones, the children at risk, the children in your neighborhood, the children in the other nations. Turn your heart, turn your heart, turn your heart. That's what the spirit of prophecy is saying. And it's fueled up by night and day prayer. Well, the Lord said years ago to me, I'm going to change the understanding and expression of Christianity in the whole earth in one generation. The Lord is doing this. And there's a billion of us that get to have a role in that, a billion believers in the earth. And one of the ways that this new understanding, this new expression of Christianity, this new walking out will be in the spirit of prayer, the spirit of prophecy, and the doing works of justice with the spirit of humility, honoring the whole body of Christ, and even honoring, having a spirit of honor and humility before our, even before our enemies. It's pure and undefiled religion. That's what God's after. Orphans, widows. Well, before we go into, and I'm just going to give the briefest statement on some of the outreaches. Again, I'm not going to break them all down. This is a declaration to the heavens. This isn't a vision casting. This isn't even vision casting. Although some of you will get a vision for where we're going. But we've already done this with a number of these departments, these new ones. We're already devoting a meeting, a Sunday meeting, and giving the vision. We're going to do it in depth and give action plans and budgets and schedules to every one of these. But this is really a declaration to the heavens. That's what we're doing here. But as we're doing it, I have to just take 60 seconds in honor. Now, I'm going to talk about clapping. That's what I mean. I mean, just before the Lord. I want to say to the Father, thank you for those that have done outreach. There have been hundreds of people who have poured themselves out for 10 years. And the last thing I want to do on this 10-year anniversary is say something like, we are starting outreach, and just to belittle all that they've done. I mean, hundreds of them have poured thousands of hours in serving the community and reaching out to people. Just to mention a few of them, the focus we had in our early days in the poor in India, the focus with the poor in Kansas City, the outreaches to the inner city. I'm talking about year 1, 2, and 3, and the dinners and the evangelistic outreaches we had in the first 2 or 3 years. The Hal Linhart, who is just tirelessly led outreaches for 8 years, week after week, event after event, for 8 years. We're not starting outreach. A lot of you have been on the outreach teams, and of course now he's got a whole new department in the school for evangelism that's training evangelists that's going to have a spirit of prayer on them. And currently, I don't mean we're starting these are ones that are going right now. 7 times a week evangelistic teams go out. Plus the big annual ones, the healing rooms, the prophecy teams, the inner city work that's been going on for 5 years, Hope City with Lisa Stribling. Lou's voice to the political arena, that prophetic voice. The pro-life work, the benevolence ministries, the Myanmar. You know, in a few moments, Daniel's going to come up. They just got back from Myanmar just this morning. They flew in. I mean, 2 full days on the airplane. And the work they're doing in Myanmar. Yeah, let's just welcome them back right now. Daniel and Levi and Samuel. I mean, they've been on the airplane 2 days. Daniel came in, brother, I can't wait. I go, Daniel, go home. He goes, no, I just had to come. I just had to be a part for it. I go, go home. He's here. He just wants to be here. Okay, the orphan justice center that's already been launched, but we're going to really develop this. You know, it was during the 40-day fast, actually, in the summer of 2008, a year ago, when the Lord stirred my spirit with Derek Laux and Alan Hood. I mean, this was a Holy Spirit prayer. This is just outrageous in the natural. It's outrageous in the natural, but we're going for it. To have 10,000 orphans, I don't mean giving money over somewhere else, on our missions base. I mean, here, on little IHOP badges, little 4-year-olds. I mean, on the staff. in their little way. We're going to make some little way they fit. I'm not talking about we drive on the other end of town or fly somewhere and go give them some cookies, take a photo op, and rub their head. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 10,000. This is our prayer. I don't know how it's going to fit. We're praying ardently for this. In our midst, that we teach them instruments. And they have prayer rooms. They flow in them and they grow up. And our prayer is to send them back to the nation. Well, I'm talking about these human trafficking kids too. Send them back, some of them, to the nations that they were abused in. Like St. Patrick went back and preached to the nation that abused him. That kind of thing. I mean, some of them will raise up and be apostles and prophets in the days to come. They'll be raised in the house of prayer like little Samuel was raised in the house of prayer. The devil tried to cut their life out. God had another plan. He raised them in the house of prayer. And he's saying, house of prayer in the earth. Do you have room for my children? We're saying, Lord, we want it. 10,000. I'm not saying 10,000 total. You know, like 500 this year, 500 next year. I'm praying for 10,000 at a time. No, I mean this. Like, I know the implications. It's like 20 at a time was like, well, okay, let's get serious. I'm talking 10,000. It's so outrageous. And I told the Lord it's the same way with all these. All of these things, by the way, we don't have. I mean, some we have clear action plans and others we're forming them, but we're announcing them. And what we're going to do is we're making a commitment that as God raises up leadership, we do have 1,500 full-time people here. I mean, full-time, they get 50 hours a week. So we got a lot of leadership in this room, a lot of people that aren't in positions, and a lot more are coming. But as we have leaders and money and wisdom, I say, Lord, give the leaders, give the money, give the wisdom. We'll do it. We'll do the work. And that's the deal I made with the Lord 10 years ago. I said, if you'll give money, leaders, and wisdom, we'll do the hard work. And 10 years later, the Lord has constantly given us good leaders. He's given us supernatural financing, and he's given us creative ideas. I mean, they just come, and we do hard work. And so that's the deal we're making again. Lord, if you will provide the wisdom, the leaders, and the money, we will walk out these things on this piece of paper. That's what we're talking about. So the Orphan Justice Center. It's a whole lot to say. It's a complicated area with all the legalities, and so that's not my point to break that down. We're asking for 10,000. Will you join me in that? Matter of fact, let's do it right now. Father, I ask you, just in your own heart, I'm asking you, this family, for 10,000 at a time. Not cumulative, at a time. We want them for life. I mean, for all their child, until they're adults. Tell you, send them where you send them. We want them for years. Give us hundreds of millions of dollars. Billions. Give us powerful men and women of leadership capacity. Send us the best in the earth that love you. Send them. Give us the best properties. We ask you, in Jesus' name, do this. We keep doing that, they're going to show up. Well, there's the Zoe Foundation and the Hannah's Dream, the adoption agency that we just started, and the fundraising for it, raising funds to help people to adopt children. Because we're saying we're committed to stopping abortion with the body of Christ in our nation. We are never going to be silent. We will never be silent. I don't care what president, what administration, how many. You know what the percentages are, Democrats, Republican. It's the court of heaven we're appealing to. The court of heaven has way more power than the demographics in any given decade. And we will never be quiet on this subject. Never. And we will win the subject. We will win the subject. The day is coming, I don't know when, where there will be no abortions in this nation. That day is coming. None. You say, how could that be? Well, Jesus may be on the earth when that happens in fullness. But the day is coming. It's just minutes away, either way it goes. But we're expecting substantial victory. Because we're in the nations I'm talking about. We're not going to be quiet. We are not going to be quiet on this subject. Well, our most aggressive idea is to take the Hernhut Apartments, where so many of you live, 700 people can live in the Hernhut Apartments. And this will take a while, and we can't do this next month, but it's going to take a while. But we announce it, then we start raising money, and leaders start emerging. We want to move all the students out of the Hernhut Apartments and get some other apartments here close, because we're all this new property that's happened here. And the Hernhut Apartments, you know, a couple miles away, we want to turn that into, the name we're using right now is a Woman's Life Center. And we want all of the 133 units, capacity for 700, we want it to be filled with women and girls, 100%, and workers. And what we want to do in this Woman's Life Center, it won't be called Hernhut, it'll be Woman's Life Center. And we're going to pay all the bills. We're talking about women rescued from human trafficking. We're saying we want them. Well, they don't speak English. They're from another nation. We want them. We want to pay their bills. We want them. We'll teach them English. Like they did in the old days. From the Bible will be the text. We will teach them English. So a Woman's Life Center. That will take a while. You don't start that in a day. You don't go put a sign on, get a website, and you got it. No, this is really hard work. We want a birth mother homes built into it. I mean, as a part of this. We want group foster homes, which are orphans. Because you can't have orphanages like traditionally, but you can have them in units of 6, 8, and 12 foster homes. But they're still orphans. And they're still there for years. We can put a bunch of them in different places, and they can work together. We got to obey the laws, but we're going to go after this thing. Because you can't have traditional orphanages, but if we do it right, we can still have thousands of orphans. The human trafficking that I mentioned. One of the officials from the Department of Homeland Security was at the prayer room. And this woman just was taking a personal retreat. She loved Jesus and watched the website and said, "Hey, I'm going to go take a retreat." And she didn't want to meet people because she meets a lot of, you know, powerful people in Washington, D.C. She's coming here to love Jesus, not to network. I mean, there's so many people in Washington, D.C. to network with. Just, And then she started hearing the prayers, human trafficking. And she goes, "Oh, man. I'm supposed to just be on a retreat with Jesus." Okay, so she meets with some of our leaders, and she says, "You know, man, this is amazing. I didn't know you were into this." And I said, "We're really into this." I didn't say that. I mean, our leaders did. She said, "Could you guys provide these safe homes after we have a bus?" And she described, and I'm not going to take this much time on all of them, but this one really moves me. She goes, "When we have a bust, we have these women that are freed from this tyranny, this slavery. I mean, they're from Eastern Europe and Asia. They don't speak English." She goes, "We don't have anywhere to put them. We put them in holding cells." You know what holding cells are? Jails. They said, "We don't want to do it," but they can't speak English. The bad guys know who they are. If we just like bust the bus, say, "Girls, hey, good luck. Hey, here's $10 for the night." They don't speak English. They don't have a job. They don't know where they are. They don't know what the street is. They stand out in the corner. They're going to get picked up again. She goes, "We have to put them in confinement of sorts. It's horrifying." She said, "Would you guys take them?" We said, "Yes. We'll take as many as God will give us billions of dollars and thousands of workers. We will keep buying apartment complexes if you will keep giving them to us, Lord, and the Lord gives money. We'll just buy them every time God will give us one." Wouldn't that be something to have thousands of these ladies? I mean, over the years. I don't know the numbers, but we're going to have them. Then we're going to have these safe homes. Number four, that's what I just talked about. They're the first response homes. When they have a bust, they were... Then places for domestic violence. These women are getting beat up by their husbands. They have nowhere to go. Well, tell your husband to stop. Move out. Like, move out like where? Our prostitutes that we're reaching out to. And a lot in the inner city, but it's not all inner city. Well, number one, the guys that are holding them captive, they'll beat them up if they quit being a prostitute. And they don't have a job. The prostitute's like, "How am I going to eat between now and my new occupation?" A lot of them, they want to hang in there. They hear the gospel message. They want to do it, but they just can't make life work. We want to give them occupational training, have them live in this house, pay their bills, and establish them in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about pay their bills in terms of the food and the covering in the house is what I mean. Big sister programs, honoring widows, special needs children. That's huge. And I don't know how much we can do, but we're saying, Lord, help us. There's gifted people. Send them to us and there's some in our midst. Raise them up. Top of page 2. Now that's the one I'm going to spend the most time on, was the one we just did. Well, then the shopping, Redbridge Center, the old shopping mall, where the prayer room is now, we got that shopping mall. Well, we just got a new shopping mall twice as big, and we got the Truman property that we're wanting to develop, fully develop, and a lot of other possibilities all clustered together here, you know, a couple miles away from there. It's perfect. We want to turn that whole shopping mall into a justice ministry center right next to the apartment complex. And in it, we want to keep, number one, the prayer room going. Now, the goal isn't to go 24 hours a day there, but maybe 6 or 12 hours a day as we move the prayer room over here to this area of our property. Now, we don't know when. We're not doing any of this tomorrow. Take a while, but this is where our leadership team is moving. But we keep that prayer meeting going, that room 6, 8, I mean, it's whatever the wisdom of the hour is. And we have 700 women in that apartment complex next door. They'll come over, and I mean, I'm talking about our best teams. I mean, the best we can give, and we'll have therapy, that Holy Spirit therapy, where they're there 4 and 6 hours a day just listening to worship. They may not even be believers. They may not understand English. And they're sitting there. It's part of their healing. Just the beautiful love songs of God washing their soul. And I tell you, the Lord will move them and heal them, and demons will come out of some of them. I mean, just the power of presence worship, so much is going to happen. We want to put in that shopping mall, this Justice Ministry Center, a crisis pregnancy center. We want to teach some of these ladies from the inner city and some of these ladies from the other nations that are rescued from human trafficking. We want to teach them basic education. Teach them English. Help them get a GED. Teach the orphans elementary level education. We want to teach them life skills. I've got them written there. Occupational skills. You know, there's occupations we can teach them in a few months, and we're going to use that shopping mall for occupational training and basic education and emotional healing and on. You can read more about that. Paragraph G, the Hope City, the inner city outreach. Now, that's been going 5 years now, but we're wanting to not double it, but like times 10. Maybe times 100. I mean, really build something there that is the full force of the heart and the resource of IHOP focused on it. Fully IHOP. It's not like, well, we do IHOP here and then the inner city, those guys down there, I help them. No, no. We're not going to help those guys down there. It's us together. It's us together. And I have a lot of the ministries. We want to build a prayer room, like, I'm just a hypothetical number, like a 500 seat. A good-sized prayer room that will go 24/7. We want staff housing. We want to buy a lot of property. And we've got some situations we're looking at, a bunch of buildings together, and we're looking at them. And I'm talking about where we could staff, 100 staff members right there on site type thing. And have a soup kitchen and just live in discipleship programs for the young people we lead to the Lord, and community center and health services and food and clothing in a warehouse and a homeless shelter and all kinds of ministry rooms for evangelism, discipleship, life training, literacy, GED programs, high school, junior high outreaches, all kinds of things. Mobile food truck, hospice care, etc. Paragraph H. Oh, I mean, you could just go on, but we're working on all of these and we're sounding the trumpet. We're saying, we got a lot of good leaders, but Lord, we need more. We got 1,500 people. We need 5,000 to do this. But the Lord is sending 5,000. My sources tell me 5,000 are coming. It's true. My resources are reliable. No, really. We need 5,000 to do this. We can't do this with 1,500 full-time people. We need the whole IHOP community. There's about 4,000 in the whole community. We need everybody helping. Everybody. I mean, we can't afford one lazy, disconnected, I'm in a bad mood for 3 months, I don't want to bother with the kingdom or people. We can't afford a 3-month bad mood. You get me in a bad mood, just put a tape on your mouth and go down and serve. And just don't say nothing. But go serve. We need you to serve. Just keep the tape on your mouth. Go serve and just lay hands on people. Mutter Jesus. And I tell you, sometimes we're going to get healed even if you're in a bad mood. Because it's the power of the name. Well, evangelizing Kansas City. And Mark Anderson's coming up in a minute. And I tell you, he's a prince. He is one of the, I was meeting with our leaders. I said, I think in 10 years, one of the greatest gifts, I thought this through, that God has ever given IHOP. I'm thinking of the Truman property, this huge property he gave us as a free gift. Thinking of all these gifted leaders. I said, I think in my heart, Mark Anderson is one of the greatest gifts, a human being, not even more than the money. He sent him to us in all that he represents. I mean, Mark is committed. He's in the YWAM leadership for years in the senior leadership team. He's at the front seat of the missions movement worldwide. I've been with him on several settings where the world missions leaders look to him with profound respect. And God has rooted him in his heart in this place and in this family. His primary assignment from heaven is YWAM. And very important assignment, the call to all with Campus Crusade and many missions movements. We're his third assignment, but I tell you, we are one. We got on the list. I'll take third. I'll take third. When you got a guy like that, I'll take third. And so he can't be here full time, but he's committing to help us with the expertise to mobilize for evangelism locally and missions in the world. He has so much understanding, and he's so connected to the missions world. What an amazing thing. He'll talk a little bit of what he's doing with neighborhood centers. I just wanted to put it in here. Well, we're going to continue with the healing rooms and the prophecy rooms. You know, the healing rooms, they started 7 years ago. 35,000 people have received prayer in the healing rooms. 35,000. I mean, they pray for them. 15 minutes sometimes is the short, but sometimes 30 minutes and many times an hour. They soak, they pray, they stand there and they pray. 35,000 people have received prayer. That's remarkable healing rooms, remarkable labor of love. I mean, I've been in those healing rooms. I've done those prayers. My wife has done it the whole 7 years on a real regular basis. And she goes there faithfully, and she's just one or two people. I did it a number of times with her. She insisted. I wanted to, but she gave me an offer. You know, I couldn't refuse. You get in that room, boy. And so I was there with her and sitting down. She'd stand up. You know, so I was sitting down doing, yeah, Lord, she'd stand up. I want you focused. Okay. It's work. It's work. And she closed her eyes and sit down. She don't want to stand up, you know. Because, I mean, it's work. 75,000 have been prayed for in the prophecy room. 75,000 people from all over the world. Well, we're going to continue those and increase both of those. Top of page 3. The outreaches. Local and abroad. Paragraph A, oh my, we heard this last Sunday, CRI, the Crisis Response International with Sean Malone. How many of you appreciated that last Sunday? I mean, that was awesome. He showed the video, and of course, they've been doing it 3 years. They're launched, based here in Kansas City, been a part of IHOP in terms of showing up and stuff, but the Lord just sealed our hearts that they're joining IHOP, and we're mobilizing this together. We're all in this together. He's giving the primary leadership to it, and a lot of others are going to join the leadership team, and it's disaster relief, going where there's been a crisis, and going and bringing the word of the Lord, but not just the word of the Lord. We're talking about clean water, providing food, shelter, medical care, immediate access to those things, reaching the harvest in crisis, and helping to rebuild cities. Prophetic mercy ministries that are committed to night and day prayer. That's their vision statement, and we said yes, and so now this is fully a part of IHOP. This is what an incredible gift of God to us. We have the Exodus cry, which is working to end human trafficking, and the awareness and proclaiming to the nation the horror of this reality, but then restoring the lives of the women and children that are liberated. We want them. We want as many as God will give us time and money and space for. Bound for Life continues to work to stop abortion, to increase adoptions. We are committed to an adoption movement. We're working hard. Many of our people are adopting. And those that are not adopting, we want them anyway in our family as orphans until the Lord puts them in a home. The African-American Forerunner Alliance. The Lord has spoken to us clearly of the premier role that the African-Americans have in the prayer movement as leaders. We can't call them to that. God did. We don't have the authority to call them to that, but we've recognized it as the order of God, the will of God. And so we're working at this to support and call and respond and honor the leadership. God is raising up in America a prayer movement. I tell you, until the African-American men and women are in their place, their full place, there is a ceiling on the prayer movement in this nation. There's a divine order that we see it clearly in the Spirit, and we are doing whatever we know to do to encourage this. There's a lot going on in that. Of course, then there's the call. We all know about the call. Everybody knows about the call. Targeting false ideologies, contending for revival. Now, the call isn't IHOP. It's its own organization. But we're deeply connected. I mean, the whole IHOP team and staff were mobilized around Lou. We received Lou as one of the spiritual fathers here 2 years ago, and he builds this community. Whatever's on his heart, we want to help him do, and so he wears two hats as well. He builds IHOP as one of the IHOP senior leaders, and he goes out as the call, and then we go serve him. We're going to continue. The Luke 18 Project, the vision to plant prayer rooms in 2,600 college campuses. But prayer rooms that pray, prophesy, and do works of justice. We want every prayer room to adopt children somehow. I don't mean these high school kids are going to adopt them and move them in their dorms. That's not what I mean. But I'm talking about every prayer room, 2,600 campuses, a prayer room of people that are crying out to God 24/7, even if it's one person at a time. We put a web stream in there, and we want the spirit of prophecy moving, encouraging that. But we're talking about whether it's going and just big brother programs, big sister programs, something to do with turning hearts to children. It has to be turning to children. I mean, we could do many other things, but we have to turn to children because the spirit of prophecy, Holy Spirit speaking, we call it the spirit of Elijah, is turning the hearts of fathers to children. The fathers are the people that have the stature, the money, the experience, the wisdom. The children have no stature, no money, no wisdom, no place in society. And the father says, the guys with the authority, the money, the wisdom, go serve them. Go serve them. What an amazing, only God would come up with that. Only God would come up with that. I love Myanmar. Well, Daniel's going to talk about that in a few moments, but this is almost like the crisis relief and crisis response. That's been happening just a little bit with Levi Lim the last couple of years, that after the cyclone hit Myanmar, that she has been involved there, and we took up $1 million offering that came from you missionaries. I mean, this wasn't people that wrote a $100,000 check. You guys gave $1 million. We're talking about 1,500 missionaries. You gave $1 million. And they went over there and built schools and churches and boats and many hydropower plants and funded medical projects. I mean, we can't do that much with $1 million, but we've done something. It matters. And they're going to give just a little report. They just got back today. The Praying Church, you can read that on your own. We believe that God is raising up a movement. I don't mean an organization. We want to see churches built. I don't mean under us, nothing like that. But we're just cheerleading with many other ministries. Churches that the house, the prayer room is the center of their ministry life. It's not all they do, but the center, and they do works of justice from a center of prayer and intimacy with God and the forerunner spirit, etc. Top of page 4. It's coming down to the end here. And then Mark Anderson will come up just about 4 or 5 minutes. The Call to All. Now, some of you don't know that name, but most of you do. This is the organization that Mark gives leadership to. I think it's one of the most significant ministries in the whole body of Christ. I mean, that's a pretty grandiose statement, but I believe that. We support it 100%. In the Call to All Congress in Orlando, about 2 years ago, 600 leaders came, 170 of the top mission organizations in the earth. I'm talking about the CEOs. You know, Steve Douglas, the head of Campus Crusade, Lorne Cunningham and John Dawson, the head of YWAM, the top leaders of 170 primary mission organizations, they came to spend a couple days together before the Lord and saying, Lord, what are you saying? I'm talking about the guys that have been doing it 50 years. And a number of the international prayer leaders were invited. And the mission leaders and the prayer leaders recognized, and we verbalized it, made statements together. It was made public declarations that God had joined the missions movement and the prayer movement. There were a number of international prayer ministries there and these top mission leaders, and there was this embrace of God. And the two largest mission organizations in the earth, YWAM and Campus Crusade, together 50,000 full-time staff members. Their top leadership was there. I mean, what an amazing thing. And the prayer leaders, we have committed our part of it in this relationship. We want to see every single mission organization in the earth covered. Every mission organization. I'm not talking about IHOP. I'm talking about the prayer ministries. We're interacting with many prayer ministries around the world. We're calling everyone, and we're working to do this as part of our initiative, our justice initiative, actually, to get every missions organization, every prayer room to take at least one mission organization, at least one. I mean, they will cover. Three missionaries and one of the 4,000 zones. The mission leaders have divided the whole world up into 4,000 zones. And they've identified the ones that are most in need. And as IHOP, our mission organization, we cover a mission organization. Not ourselves, because they're too big for us. YWAM. We are committed to YWAM. It was January 2004. I talked to John Dawson, a long-term friend. I mean, his affirmations to us on by video were so powerful in this 10-year anniversary. I love John Dawson. I've known him for over 25 years. And just an amazing guy. Or right at 20-plus years, something like that. I don't know, but tremendous guy. And I told John, it's the only person I've ever said this to. I've only made this commitment one time in IHOP. I said, John, the Lord has so connected us with you. You give me an assignment where you're going and where you want, we will mobilize IHOP. You give me one sentence email, and we will do it. I said, we're that committed to you. And I said, John, I've never said that to anybody. I might make that commitment again, but I never have. That's the only person. I said, give us a sentence. You don't need to even make a phone call. Say, Mike, we're in this nation. This is it. We will mobilize IHOP. We are committed to YWAM. I mean, we have such honor for who they are. And, of course, Mark is in the top leadership of YWAM, and that just makes it even easier. We're committed to God TV. That's the other missionary organization. We are committed to covering. And the zone, the 4,000 zone, the Lord has shown us is Egypt. Oh, I love Cairo. I love Cairo. I mean, Lord, do you love Cairo? The Lord says, I love Cairo. We pray for Egypt, and I want to continue to stir us up to do this more. You know, when I think of Youth with a Mission, Campus Crusade, the leader for 50 years, Bill Bright, was one of my heroes. I was involved in Campus Crusade in my college years. Read all of Bill Bright's material, used all of his stuff, plagiarized him. He didn't care. Millions plagiarized Bill Bright. He loves it. I got to meet him one time after IHOP. Went to his house. A guy came. I was ministering at the Campus Crusade in their big facility. They have 900 full-time staff in Orlando. And the guy came and says, do you have time? I was ministering, giving little teachings and stuff. And the guy says, do you have time to meet Bill Bright? And I go, I think so. He's like one of my total heroes, him and Billy Graham. Are you kidding? Yes. So I go there. I go to his house. I just tell you this 60 seconds and maybe 90. I sit in his house, and oh, here he is. I mean, it's just months before he dies, maybe about a year before he dies. Biggest smile. How you doing? I sit down, and he goes, first sentence. I walked in and said, how you doing? He didn't even answer. He just said, intercessory missionary. Wow. Well, he listened. He goes, what a term. I wish I would have thought of that term. Because that is a great term. Wow. We talked for a couple hours. Then he's going to pray for me. And he says, Lord, he puts his hand on me. He said, I ask you that you would, because he said the prayer movement and the missions movement has to come together, has to come together, has to come together. And he said, Lord, I pray that you would bless. And he just goes, he puts his hand on me. He goes, Lord, I pray that you would bless. He goes, what's your name? I go, Mike. He goes, okay, good. I pray that you would bless Mike. It worked. I took it. They don't have to know your name. I mean, the blessing still works. A blessing from Bill Bright. Are you kidding? He can call me Bill. He can call me anything he wants. Just lay your hands on me and say stuff. Jay, our commitment to Israel. I could talk for hours about that. We do talk for hours. We want to love Jesus well, and one way is standing with the Jewish people. I mean, even the ones that say no. And I want to be strong about this. There's only one way for the Jewish people, through Jesus. There's only one salvation for Israel, through Jesus. The blood of Jesus on the cross. They have to be born again to get into the kingdom. So when we talk about Israel, we're not talking about some other way or some other something. We're talking about Jesus glorified throughout an entire nation. But beloved, there's huge persecution coming. And Jesus wants the body of Christ to pray and to stand. And we have committed to pray. We've committed to join other ministries to raise up 100 million, not ourselves, but with many ministries, 100 million intercessors, Gentile intercessors for Israel. We're serious about this. And I've got the address to prove it. We're on Truman property. I mean, we're serious about this. But it's more than pray. We need to stand with them. I mean, you can see the nations are turning. You can see America turning. It's not going to be popular, but we are saying, Jesus, we will stand unto death with you and your commitment to them. It's with Jesus we're standing, but it's unto death. Well, the keys to maintaining the IHOP spiritual values and the spiritual DNA, the values. Our core foundation is this, that we want to do outreach. It's very simple, very simple. We want to do outreach from prayer instead of outreach without prayer. Real easy to say, real hard to do, because when you start doing outreach, a lot of it, we've done quite a bit, but I tell you, at the level we're going, 24 hours a day, we're talking about never stopping, always having an outreach, whether the inner city or the orphans, the widows, the Women's Life Center. It will be 24/7. Never stop. I mean, always serving every minute of the day. It's easy to get to the place where we do outreach without prayer. It is presumptuous to think this will be easy. Like, well, we do prayer. Okay, we add outreach. This is going to be really take fierce determination to keep our primary mandate, which is to keep. It's not our only mandate, our big mandate. We have several. I mean, to bring the gospel forward. But our God gave us an assignment. Keep that sanctuary going 24/7. Keep that sanctuary going 24/7. And everything that's come out of it, the millions of dollars that God has given us, the thousands of people that have connected with us, and the 1,500 member staff, that's coming out of a prayer room. It's not coming out of a vision statement and a website. This is coming out of prayer. This is not a signal we're leaving the prayer room or, well, prayer's neat. I remember when we just was focused on prayer. No, we will be focused on prayer by the grace of God until the Lord returns. Our primary mandate, our first mandate, he said, keep a sanctuary. From Ezekiel 44, verse 15, says the priests of Zadok, they kept the sanctuary. They kept it. Our commitment is that all of our workers, all the full-time workers, they keep their sacred trust. They have to. All the leaders in the outreaches have to keep their sacred trust. There are 12 prayer meetings a week. They have to. They can pick whatever hours they want. The minute we change that, IHOP T-minus 10, T-minus 9, T-minus 8, we will be finished in 3 to 5 years as a prayer ministry. The minute we make concessions, well, this guy's real busy, it won't really work for him. Beloved, there is no way forward if all of our leaders are not committed to the prayer room. The 12 hours that we've come up with that number through the years. I remember John Dawson, I mentioned him earlier, the leader of YWAM, the president of YWAM. He said, Mike, he's been here, spoke here a number of times. He said, please don't leave your assignment. Please don't. He goes, they will accuse you of being unbalanced. I beg you, keep unbalanced, if that's what they call it. Stay focused. Please, as the mission movement, we need you in the prayer room. There's many mission movements, and we are a missions movement. And we're going to be doing the works of justice. But he goes, please stay in the prayer room. I plead with you. We're talking about when the chief spokesman, in my opinion, of the whole body of Christ worldwide, pleading us to stay there. And we're going to. By the grace of God, we're going to. This isn't about lessening anything. I'm not asking you to lessen your prayer times. I'm asking you to take this extra time. You're going to be, of course, we commit to 50 hours a week, 25 hours in the prayer room, 25 hours in service. And we're going to need more than that 25 hours of service. What I'm asking you to do is take it out of your recreation time, not your prayer time. So, well, I got to work later hours. Turn your TV off, turn your computer off, turn the little gizmos off. Take it out of your play time. That's what I want you to take it out of, not your prayer time. And if we do that, we can make it. But what a lot of folks do, they go, well, I got service, or I got prayer room. Nobody's touching my playtime. That is sacred, but I'll manage. No, no. If you're joining us, that's the one we're going to sacrifice. That's the sacrifice, is the playtime. We want people focused in the prayer room until the end. And we can do both with all of our heart. There's two essential commitments. If we're going to, we're going to see this growth. The Lord spoke to us that we're going to grow to 5,000. Real quick, and that's glorious because the Lord wants it to happen, but that's trouble. That's trouble. 5,000 people, we got 1,500 full-time, 5,000, we'll have so many new people here, and they'll go, you know, we love your heart, but we got to be practical. Then there's 3,500 new ones telling us I don't know. I don't think it will happen that way because I think they'll have the heart prepared before they get here, but my point is with a bunch of new people, that's when you get off track. We have to stay focused. So we have two essential commitments. Commitment number one, everybody that's full-time keeps a sacred trust. Everybody keeps a sacred trust, 12 prayer meetings a week. If they don't, they need to move on to another ministry. We bless them. We don't say they're bad. We just say you got a different assignment. Most ministries in the earth are not called to do this. They're not called to have their workers 12 prayer meetings a week. They're called to whatever they're called to. But if you're not called to that, then you need to leave and go join another ministry or don't come. Everybody that's here is called to that. And if you don't, please leave. We love you. Or please don't come. I'm absolutely resolute. Because though we're committing 24-hour works of justice, I'm committing 24-hour prayers for justice to continue. I'm making the commitment I made 10 years ago again. And adding a second part to it. I'm committing to do 24-hour prayer. We're recommitting to that. And we're adding to it another commitment, 24-hour prayers of justice. Now there are exceptions to that. There's the operations staff. And I don't want to go into those details. There's exceptions. And there will be professionals. Like in the orphans. There will be professionals working with us. And we can't put certain requirements on them because it's legal. And so there will be some exceptions. But I'm talking about the vast majority. Commitment number two, and this is strange to people, but I've held this line for 10 years. It's critical. We don't take large ministry trips outside of Kansas City. We send our leaders. We send 3 and 4 leaders. But what? I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of requests. They want the free labor of the IHOP kids. And I said, no, we're not going to do it. We'll give you our 3, 4 top leaders to go. You raise your own workforce in the body of Christ in your city. No, your IHOP kids, put them on the bus and drive them for 3 days and let's work them and send them back home broke and starving and, hey, cool, they're kids. No, not doing it. You mobilize the workforce in your own area, we will send you leaders. There's a reason. If our kids go, they don't have the money. They don't have the time. They come back so burnt out and wasted, and so many strange dynamics take place. We are called to keep a prayer room, a sanctuary. They must keep their sacred trust. Now, when they're on every now and then, there'll be some exceptions. And the premier exception, because it's by design, is the cry. The crisis relief and the crisis response ministry where we're going to the earthquake zone. But it's even on those, it's 7 days at a time and then coming back and new reinforcements going. And so we really want to do that. We want to train as many of us to go on those 1 week, and maybe some will be longer, but Sean Malone was pretty adamant. Now he goes, we got to keep it at 1 week. That's a huge exception. But I'm talking about, and I got lots of friends out there, they look at IHOP, 1,500 full-time people, and they think, free workforce of cool kids. And I go, nope, you got the wrong guy. Right smile, wrong guy. Ain't going to happen. Get to work and get your own workforce. We'll send you leaders, though. Well, our commitment in a minute is we're going to make this commitment, 24-hour prayer for justice and 24-hour prayers for justice with 24-hour works of justice. And here's what we're going to ask you to do. We're not making it yet, but I want you thinking. Let's have Mark Anderson come up, if he would, because he's on crutches. He broke his kneecap. Can you? I mean, this guy was in the Eastern Europe. Mark. I mean, number one, he's in a faraway nation. He goes, I'm coming home for this dedication. I won't miss it. And you fly all night. You break your kneecap. And what thanks do you get for it? A kiss. But here's what we're going to ask you to do. I'll give this to him in a second. I love you. He says, I'm pumped. Now, come on, you're exhausted, your knee's hurting. No. You're flying out of town the next day. You're clear to the other part of the world. Okay. He said, forget that. Here's what we're going to ask you to commit to in a few moments. We're going to ask you to give your time. We need everybody serving, not just the full-time people. We're talking the 4,000 in our IHOP church world. Everybody has to serve. Number one. Number two, because we don't want you saying yes if you're not going to commit time. Say, how much time? That's between you and the Lord. You got a mother. I'm a mother with four kids at home. You can still give a couple hours a week. There's ways to do that. If you say yes, there's ways. You may be making phone calls from your house, but you're serving. There's ways. We want your money. No, we really do. We want your money for two reasons. I think we're going to get such supernatural help economically. I'm talking about billions. I don't think our money is going to, like, tip the balance, but God, there you go. This is for real. This is for real. This is our first, we're taking an offering. So you know what? I'm going to put it right here because we're taking an offering here. Mark Anderson gave the first offering. Now, these are righteous kids, so I'm not worried. You gave ouch. I just hit you. Ouch. It's just your cast. We need your money, but not because I think our money is going to tip the balance because we need supernatural money. If you don't give your money, you don't give your heart. Because where your money goes, your heart goes. Jesus said it. We need your time. We need you giving sacrificially. And we're going to have lots of ways to give. And we're mobilizing our entire church operation here. I mean, the money we get has one purpose, to supply for the intercessory missionaries and their work scholarships and the outreaches. That's and pay for the building so we have some air conditioning and running water in the process and some handouts. We got to keep handouts coming. We want your prayer. This is real. You think, well, of course you got your prayer. No, we have to mobilize our prayer room in a whole nother way of vigilance and sensitivity and alertness. We need prayer in the prayer room. We need prayer in the side rooms. We need prayer at homes. We got to have a whole nother way to make prayer beyond just on the microphone in the main prayer room. And when they pray, it's not you're not doing your email. You're actually praying when the guy's praying. I mean, I appreciate doing emails in the prayer room. That's a great place to do them. But there's times to put that down and to actually pray. So this is not a joke. When I say pray, this is not a given. Actually talk to God about these situations. And fourthly, we want your verbal support, meaning to tell people. And when people say, I'm not interested, we say, wait, it's the name of Jesus, and it's suffering people, it's oppressed. We're going to verbalize, we're going to carry the testimony in our mouth of declaring it and making it known and telling whosoever to help in this. We need your words. We actually need your testimony.